The book of Colossians. All right, let's go ahead and start reading in verse number 1. We'll just come down on through here. I'm not going to repeat everything. You don't have to worry about that. All right, but we'll go ahead and start in verse number 1 since we're not that far. Verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. All right, so we're down here in verse number 6, and last week we talked about, of course, the gospel and what that is, and the fact that we hear the gospel through the word of truth through the word of God, and thank God that we have it, and thank God for the freedom we have to have it and to have a copy of it in our laps this evening. And it leads and guides us into all truth, of course. And Paul says that it bringeth forth fruit. It bringeth forth fruit. He's saying, which has come unto you, this truth of the gospel in verse 5, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. It wasn't just hearing. You can't just hear the gospel and get saved. We need to tell people the gospel so that they can get saved, but it's not just hearing the gospel. It is receiving the gospel. It is not just hearing it, but being a doer of the word as well. And when the gospel is settled in our hearts and in our lives, Jesus Christ comes inside of us and sets up a residence in us. And there should be fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. It's different than turning over a new leaf of religion. That doesn't bear the same fruit. People might do better in their lives. People might try to be better people in their lives, but Jesus Christ inside is what brings forth fruit. Because our attempts, our attempts are going to be like this. If we're just trying to kind of muster up the same type of energy to always live for the Lord, to always do right according to the Lord, to always be able to put our best foot forward. But when Jesus Christ is in our lives and the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside of us, we can bring forth fruit because of Him. Now, there are different kinds of fruit. There are different kinds of fruit that we can bring forth. Now, look in Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7. We'll look here in verse number 15. Matthew chapter 7. In verse number 15, the Bible says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." So there's different kinds of fruits that a person can bring forth in their life. It can either be fruits of the flesh or fruits of the spirit. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Let's start reading in verse number 18. It's all good. Romans is a great book. And Romans chapter number 6, you know, I think we should, as Christians, we should all read this. Just take a random time out and just read Romans 6 every once in a while, just to remind us that we're not in bondage to sin anymore, no matter what, you know, our flesh kind of tricks us into sometimes. But we're not. Verse number 18. Being then made free from sin. See what I was talking about? Ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and becoming servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. There's that fruit. There's that contrast of fruit in our lives where we're bearing fruit in our lives based on what we do, based on who we're a servant to, and the decisions we make in our lives. And so those things that we did, or those things that are done carnally or in the flesh, or those things that someone who got saved later in life, the things that you did before, those things are supposed to be a shame to us now. When you have a chance to give somebody an opportunity of how the Lord changed your life, you don't want to dwell so much on the sin to give it glory. You want to say, I did some things I'm ashamed of, but ever since Christ, I've been doing my best to go forward for Christ. And so we're supposed to be ashamed of those things and of that sin. And now that we're free, our fruit is supposed to be unto holiness. Now that's a scary word. Holiness. That's a scary term. I mean, I'm doing better. That makes us feel okay. That seems like the bar is obtainable, right? Well, I'm trying my best. Well, that seems like, you know, who's gonna judge me on my efforts, right? You know, who can really judge if my best is really I'm putting forth my best? But when Paul says stuff like, but now we're free from sin and become servants to God, that ye have your fruit unto holiness, well, that sounds like really hard. And that's why I'm glad the Holy Spirit of God dwells in us. That's why I'm glad that we're not tied down to the flesh, just to the things of the world. That we now have Christ in us, and we can live according to God. Romans chapter number 7, you should be right there. Romans chapter 7, look in verse number 4. The Bible says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of the sin, we were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Mentioning it again, that fruit. Now that we have put away that union with the flesh, and we now have a union with Christ, he says, you've put that old union off. That's why he gives the example of a marriage here. You put that old union off, and you have this new union, and this new union with Christ frees you up from the flesh that was just holding you down. And that flesh that was holding you back and was just constantly living for self. Now, unfortunately, we still live in it. Now, that means we're still going to have to guard ourselves against the flesh. We don't now get to walk around and just act like everything's great all the time. Because we find out very quickly when we let our guard down, when we don't walk circumspectly like the Bible says, we find ourselves just gravitating towards the things that God doesn't want us to do. So we can't just say, I'm good to go now, I can do whatever I want. No, we have to put up parameters. And the closer you walk to the Lord, the more you realize the further away from sin you want to be. And the further away from falling into sin you want to get. And so, like my pastor in New York used to say, a low aim never hit a high mark. I'm on my way to saying it as many times as I heard him say it, all right? To where you say, as my, you know, a low, and you're like, aim never hit a high mark, right? And that's what I want to do. That's the objective, right? Believe it or not, that's what a preacher's objective is, to say things enough times so that I know where he's going. I get it. I already got it, right? A low aim never hit a high mark. So a low aim for mediocrity in the Christian life, you know, we usually fall a little bit lower than that. Yeah. Wherever we're aiming, because we're dragging around this flesh, we're usually hitting a little bit lower than that. So what do? Put the aim way up high. Put the aim at Christ. Put the aim at holiness. Put the aim at purity. Just aim as high as possible. Why? Because if you slip down a little bit from really high, you're still doing all right. You're not down in the area where the Lord wants to whoop you. Right? I've given the example of sin. If this is sin, then why walk right here? Because if we're just balancing this of sin, well, I'm not sinning. I'm really close to it, but I'm not sinning. If we're walking right here, and we go over, then we're in the territory where the Lord has an opportunity to say, well, you know, and we don't like that. I don't like it. I don't want to be there. So what can we do? Well, sin's right there, so I'm going to be over here. I'm just going to give myself some distance where if I fall like this, didn't get me. Right? But man, so many people are just, well, you know, we're just going to do this. And it's not a good idea. That's not a good idea. What's the minimum that we could do to be right with God? That's not where we want to be. As a Christian, that's not why. Well, because you find out that when you're doing just the minimum, Wayne, you're falling a lot. And you're failing the Lord a lot. And man, that gets discouraging. I don't know about you, but when you want to serve God and you fail Him again, it's discouraging. It's discouraging to go back to the Lord and say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. And so if we could just, all right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to walk over here. And if I'm walking over here, people might say, oh, well, you're just a fanatic. You just, oh, well, who do you think you are? You're a holy Joe. Oh, you think, well, you can't do that as a Christian? No, I can do that. But if I'm over here, I'm not getting there. Does that make sense? We have liberty in Christ, and so people think they have liberty to do this. I have liberty in Christ, so I can walk right on the edge. I'm not sinning. I'm not right there. I'm not sinning. I'm not there. I'm right here. I'm not there. Leave me alone. I have liberty in Christ. Yeah, we do have liberty in Christ, but I'd much rather be over here. I'd much rather be over here. And then when I fall, I go, we okay, Lord? And He says, yeah, you're okay. You just came over here a little bit. You're okay. All right, I'm going to be back over here, Lord, because I feel safer over here. I feel safer over here than way over there. And there's some things like that in the Christian life. And look in John chapter number 15. John chapter 15. The problem with all that is your walk with the Lord. It's your walk with the Lord. Because what happens is, as a preacher, I want you to walk over here. I want you to be way over here. I don't want you to be even near the sin. Right, so the Bible can define sin for us, and the Bible does define sin for us. But what happens is, as you grow in your Christian life, you end up with biblical convictions, meaning I cannot do this because it is a sin. And then the Holy Spirit helps you walk with personal convictions. Personal convictions are just what they sound like. They're personal convictions. All right? And what happens is when we start to confuse personal convictions with biblical convictions, because personal convictions is something that God has talked to us about. And he said, listen, I know you, and you're no good in this area. You're prone to be not good in this spot. So what I want you to do personally is I want you to stay far away from that. And then he said, well, Lord, that just seems like it's too far. I don't know. Other people aren't that far away from that sin. Yeah, but other people might not have a problem with that sin. You do. That's why it's personal. Personal convictions. But what happens is the Lord gives us personal convictions, and then we look around other people and say, well, Mrs. Lopatowski doesn't have that conviction that I have. Now it's getting real, just plain personal in here. Forget personal convictions. It's getting personal. But that we look around and we say, but they don't have that same personal conviction that I do. And every once in a while, the Lord says to me, when I look around and I say, the Lord says, you don't have freedom to do that. And I look around at someone else's life, and in my own heart, I say, well, why can't they do that? And the Lord, because he's got to speak real plain to me. We've had this conversation before about how the Lord speaks to me. And he says, well, yeah, they're a better Christian than you. And I'm like, okay, that's fair. I can see it. I can see it. It's valid. I can see it. But that's what we all have, things. And so personal convictions are those things where biblical conviction is, that's the sin, and I'm right here. Personal conviction is, I need to stay away from that. Because I don't have good balance near that sin. I'm not really good at the tightrope near that sin. So personal conviction is, we're just going to come over here, and we're just going to do this over here. And that's what makes them individual in the Holy Spirit of God dealing with us. And that's where the whole thing's in the book of Romans 14, and it talks about putting a stumbling block in front of your brother's way. That's all being able to say, hey, I'm weak in some things, and I might be strong in others, and you might be weak in some things and strong in other things. We might be opposite. We might be. And so what do? We don't try to bring each other down. We try to say, okay, if that's your personal conviction of where you are, then that's great. I don't want to bring somebody down because of a lesser conviction I have in a certain area. And so that's why we work with each other. John chapter number 15, let's just look here in verse number 8. He says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. All right, so the Lord is not just looking for good fruit, because we've made the separation between good fruit and carnal fruit, spiritual fruit and carnal fruit. But the Lord is looking for fruit. And of course, John 15 here is talking about, in verse number 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman, and talks about being in him and bringing forth fruit in him. So this is good fruit. And he's looking for us to bear much fruit, the Bible says. Much fruit. Not just a little bit of fruit. Much fruit. And what happens when you and I can bear much fruit? The Bible says, herein is my Father glorified. He's glorified when we bring forth fruit. It's not just, you know, there's some fruit to my account, and, you know, we sprain our elbow trying to pat ourselves on the back. Right? It's not that. It is, he's glorified when we bring forth fruit. Why do we want more people in the church and more people getting saved? Is it so we can say, we go to that bigger church than it was a year ago? No one's going to win the big church competition, right? There's always going to be a bigger, there's always going to be another thing. It's not that. It's not credit because someone has brought so many people in, or our offerings are this big, or we support this many missions or missionaries, or we do this thing. No, it's because it's glorifying to God. It's glorifying to God when we bring forth fruit. And Jesus Christ is looking for fruit. He's a fruit inspector, is what he is. He's looking for fruit in our lives. He's not just looking for us to exist. So many Christians get to a place where their life, their Christian life, exists in this way. I don't do the bad stuff. That's it. It's I don't do the bad stuff. But bringing forth fruit is what glorifies the Lord. Bringing forth fruit for the Lord makes all the difference. And he wants us to bring forth fruit. Look in verse 15. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He says, go and bring forth fruit. And fruit that's going to remain. And we can run that back. We can, you know, kind of cyclical. We can run that back to good fruit and bad fruit. The good fruit is going to remain. Say, what do you mean it's going to remain? Because the Lord's keeping track. The Lord's keeping track. I don't know how much fruit you've brought forth in your Christian life, but God does. And an attaboy or an attagirl from me is going to mean nothing compared to Christ, right? We start bearing fruit so that someone else sees us. Well, if I do this, then someone's going to know, and they're going to see it, and then it's going to be the praise of men. Like, good job. And there is a place for a good job, right? There is a place for praise the Lord. We're going to praise the Lord for that thing. You know, I was talking to so-and-so, and I was able to lead them to the Lord. And you know what we should say together? Praise the Lord for that. And man, God used you to do that. That's great. But hey, everybody, can I come up and announce this from the pulpit? I don't know. You got to tell me in my ear first. I can't trust you. What is it? It's not to come up here and say, hey, guess what I did? That's not the purpose. Now I understand, you know, there is a time for recognition, and people that do things and people that give of their lives. There is a time for a thank you. There is a time for public recognition. There is time for that. But that's not why we do it. We do it because we're bringing forth fruit to him, and he's keeping track. He's keeping track of all of the fruit. When we get to heaven, he's not going to miss any of it. When we get to heaven, he's going to know everything that we did for him and every reason that we did it for him. Like, what was going on in our hearts, what sort it is. He's going to know all of that, and he's keeping track of all of it. And there might be a lot of things you do for the Lord in this life that goes unnoticed by others or unappreciated by people that do notice, but not the Lord. Not the Lord. He knows why. It glorifies him. And he knows when we bring forth fruit. He wants us to bring forth fruit. John chapter number 4. John chapter 4. Paul says this fruit, and he's talked about some of this fruit in the church that he is with the Colossian people. I mean, he's talked about the love that they had for individuals. He's talked about their faith that they had, their love to all the saints, the hope that is laid up in heaven. Paul's talked about it, and he said, this is fruit. This is fruit, and this fruit comes from the gospel when the Lord changes our lives. John chapter number 4, verse number 35. John 4, 35. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And we run these verses, and these verses are used when talking about witnessing and trying to reach people with the gospel. We don't have to say, well, as soon as I learn just a little bit more Bible, then I'll really be good at witnessing. As soon as I can just get a little bit more comfortable talking to people, man, then I'll really be able to give the gospel. As soon as I run into that person that really wants to get saved, then I'll be able to give the gospel. The fields are white unto harvest. There's opportunities everywhere for people that need the gospel, people that need to get saved. There's opportunities everywhere. And being able to give the gospel and see someone get saved or give out a hand out a gospel tract, it's fruit. It's fruit to the Lord. Look in Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went all about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He said, it's not a problem with the fruit. It's not a problem with opportunity. It's a problem with laborers. The problem is a shortage of people willing to go out there and sow the seed and gather in the fruit. That's the problem, is the amount of people willing to do it. And it's fruit to God's account. It's fruit to God's account. And it's a soul that's plucked from hell when someone gets saved. And it's an opportunity for them to change their life forever. Not just their eternal destination, thank God, but their lives forever. And that life to bring forth fruit unto Christ. So say, how can I bring forth fruit unto the Lord? You can pass out a gospel tract. We try to keep it stocked back there so you can get some. You can take some and pass them out and have them on you and those kind of things. And it's bringing forth fruit unto the Lord. Look in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4 is another way to bring forth fruit. Philippians 4, verse number 14. Philippians 4, 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Amen. There was fruit. What was this fruit? This fruit was in giving. This fruit was in giving. And Paul said, ye met some of my needs with your giving. And he said, you brought some things to me and provided for me. And we can see in the scriptures here, and not only that, but the churches sometimes gave to Paul and gave to others so then they could take and give to other Christians that were trying to live for the Lord. And what was that? That was them giving for somebody else. And what's Paul say? Paul says, I'm not the one here that's looking for the money. He says, I'm not desiring a gift. He says, but when you do this, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Fruit that may abound to your account. And it's fruit laid up in heaven. It's fruit. God is glorified say why, that's why missions are so important in this church. That's why missions are important. Why? Because it's fruit. It's fruit to God's account. And it's fruit to this church's account. And it's your fruit. A lot of fruit, right? We're talking a lot about fruit. A lot of fruit. That Christ gets glory. God gets glory. The church is known as a church that gives to missions. And where does that money come from? Comes from you. Comes from me. It comes from whatever it is that we're giving towards missions. A lot, a little, whatever it is that you give towards missions, that's fruit to your account as it goes out the door and as we give it away to these missionaries. It's fruit that goes out. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm not trying to dwell too long on this because, well, our missions conference is coming up. And I'm going to preach on giving before that. So you can be ready. There's going to be a Sunday morning message somewhere coming down the road here. Just as a reminder that our missions conference is coming up. Why? Because, man, what an opportunity we have. Hebrews chapter 13. Look in verse number 15. Bible says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, that's that giving and receiving. But to do good and communicate, forget not, don't forget that part. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God's well pleased. That what? That fruit of our giving, of our communicating, that sacrifice of giving. It's fruit. It's fruit. And also here, he talks about the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That's another kind of fruit that we can bear, is giving thanks unto the Lord. And that one's pretty easy. I mean, compared to getting out the wallet, you know, compared to getting out the wallet and loosening our fingers in that tight grip that we have on it, you know, and we finally get it loose there so that the Lord can have some of it and we can give some to missions. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. As we're prying our fingers off the wallet or the checkbook or whatever else we want to say, we should be saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I have anything that I can give to missions. Thank you, Lord, for being good to me. Missions giving is not giving of necessity. If you want to break it down, the necessity is the tithe. We can run that if we want to. I'm not going to tonight, but we can run down the tithe. That's of necessity. But giving to missions is not a necessity. It's fruit. It's fruit to our account. It's fruit to the Lord. And man, what an opportunity. What an opportunity over all the years, right? I'm getting in late. And over all the years of Faith Baptist Church and all the money that's been given to missions. That'd be a fun project. Try to go back through all the records. But we'd pat ourselves in the back too much, probably. So it's probably better just leave them buried in my folders that have been passed down from pastor to, you know, the Bailey's like, I'm leaving a whole bunch of stuff in there. I'm like, all right. Every once in a while, I'm looking through stuff. What in the world's going on here, you know? But go back and look at the money that our church has been able to give to missions. And, I mean, we have no idea. Literally have no idea. Someday we're going to get to heaven. And did you go to Faith Baptist Church? Right? Say, how are they going to know that? Well, because we're going to have the mind of Christ, all right? I'm not saying we're like recognizable. I'm saying, who knows the amount of souls that are in heaven and the amount of fruit that's been given to the Lord and glorified God in that fruit? Why? Just because of some dollars we put in the offering plate? Because of some money? And you know, everyone's mature enough in here now to know money comes, it goes. We always wish we had more of it. If we had a lot more of it, we'd be probably less responsible with it. And it just comes and it goes and this and that, and you realize, ugh. But man, giving money to missions and supporting missionaries in foreign countries and the money, that what they're doing with it, the tithe that you give to this church for the gospel tracts and for all the things that we're trying to do in this community and for families and people of this church and all the things that happen, that's fruit. That's fruit. And we're going to get to heaven someday and not have any idea, and just to see the reach that the dollars had. And listen, as Americans, we don't, you know, we're always whining about it, but man, God has blessed us as Americans. Now, I know a lot of you are from here, or close from here, but I mean, it still boggles my mind that we live in a state where minimum wage is $16.28. Like, that still kind of like blows my mind away, right? I'm like, wait, what? How much? And why? Well, God's given us. He's blessed us. And thank God that we can do that. And the Lord says here in the book of Hebrews, he says it's a sacrifice. It's fruit. It's a sacrifice to do that. It's a sacrifice, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his praise. Boy, we really should do that more often. And I say, I don't try to be a we preacher, like everything has to be me and you together. I don't mind being a you preacher. Like, you need to give more thanks. But when it comes down to something like that, it's just a we. It's we. I'm there too. We need to give more thanks to the Lord. It's fruit unto him. Really, I'm embarrassed sometimes that I'm not more thankful. When there's just so many things to be thankful for. Just so much to be thankful for. And we established ourselves at a new doctor. And so, you know, you have to go to the doctor when you get a new doctor so they can see you and say, huh, all right. And then I'm like, well, hope to never see you, you know. And so the doctor says to me, so who's your current doctor? And I said, I have no idea. Because I saw them when I did this visit, was to say, hi, I'm a new patient, right? You can get some money out of me right now. And they said, okay, well, when's the last time you've done this and that? I'm like, I don't really know. The last doctor's visit I had in New York was to establish myself with a doctor. You seeing a pattern here? I don't like coming to see you. But as I'm thinking about all this stuff, I'm thinking, boy, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. In what? In health. In just, yeah, I know, I get a man cold every once in a while, and I'm on death's bed. Yes, I understand that. But not sick enough where I thank the Lord for that. And there's just so much to be thankful for. And it's fruit. It's fruit of our lips. God's looking for us to bring forth fruit. We're not to be fruit inspectors. He is. By their fruits, you ever heard people say that? Well, by their fruits you shall know them. I don't know about that person. You know, we're the ones now looking at everybody's, how much fruit do they have? What kind of fruit is that? Right? And I understand there's some truth to it. There are times when there needs to be some things looked at in a Christian's life. I understand that. But it's not often. We just need to be concerned of what's in our basket. A fruit for the Lord, right? What are we trying to bring forth for the Lord? And what a blessing it is to be able to do that for him. It really is a blessing. All right, let's go ahead and we'll stop there tonight.